Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. One of the voices of your San Francisco Giants. And I mean, Dave, you're the voice of everything these days. WCC basketball, college football, the Masters. We feel fortunate to have you on the Morning Roast this morning. And good morning, Dave. How was your weekend?
It was great. Thank you very much. Nice to hear all three of your voices, and thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being on with us this morning, Dave. And this is probably a silly question, so I'll ask it to start off. I know that most broadcasting these days is being done from home, or they're sending you across the country to call a game in Oakland. Are you heading down to the desert at all this spring? What's the story?
You know, I wish I could say for sure. I think I am. John is heading there soon. John will be down there for the start of the games. Dwayne will be down there, I think, for the start of the games as well. Those two will have been fully vaccinated, so we're kind of sending that wave first, even though, you know, frankly, at least at the start, the setup is sort of the same as last year, where we're not going to have our normal ability to interact with players, be around the clubhouse. So even in spring training, where that's sort of the whole point, is to be around the guys and talk to players and get a feel for who's doing what and, you know, kind of set the stage for the season. None of that's going to happen normally. I mean, I think it's all going to be remotely, which is, sort of hard to believe that you go down for spring training and you can't even in that setting interact with anybody. So that's a long way of saying at some point I'm sure I'll go down there, but at first we're sending the vaccinated wave down first, and then we're going to figure out the schedule after that.
You know, Fleming, I wonder, with you doing, because you're the hardest working man in show business, the golf tournaments. We talked to you right before the PGA Championship at Harding Park. You were great on that call there.
Awesome.
It was awesome. You doing the college basketball, football, everything. Are you itching to get out of the house more so than your family watching out of the house from calling all those games here?
I'd like to think they've enjoyed having me around a little bit more. You have to invite them on and ask them for the real truth when I'm not listening in. You know, it's been a double-edged thing because I really, really miss being at venues. But even more than that, I miss fans being at games.
Yeah.
You know, I would take what we've done, while far from perfect, and I've sort of been, it seems to me that I have been, there's been nobody in sports broadcasting who's dealt with all of the idiosyncrasies of home and remote broadcasting, seems like, more than I have. I've had analysts go out for half a game, cameras go out, microphones not work for in-game interviews. I mean, I've just run the gamut with all the stuff that I've experienced. Through all of that, you know, it's still been pretty remarkable we've pulled it off. And if there had been or were fans in venues, I think it'd be a whole lot better. Because I think then you'd be able to feel at least like through the headset a little more of the energy of the thing. It's really hard when there are no fans and you're not there to have any sort of feel for what the game's like. And yeah. So, in a way, I'm rooting for that to happen even before I'm rooting for me to be there, right? Because I think these games have suffered a lot without having fans there in person. And there are benefits to being around and not having to get on so many airplanes and fly into these ice storms and try to navigate around weather in the winter when I'm going to do my Big Ten stuff or whatever. Like, life has been a little less stressful in that way over these last few months, without having to deal with that. But at some point, I would love to be back there in person. But I'm rooting for the fans to be there first.
Yeah, we know what it's like not having any fans. This show doesn't really have any, so it's okay. We understand what players are going through right now.
Not true at all.
I'm just teasing. But, Dave, Fernando Tatis Jr. is just such an exciting player. He gets the monster deal. To me, he feels like the face of baseball right now. We know that the Dodgers have a lot of faces, Mookie, Bellinger. I mean, there's some really big stars starting to emerge that are really young. But right now, who's the face of the San Francisco Giants?
That's a good question. I still think it's Buster Posey, and who knows if it's last hurrah. I tend to think it's not. That's being played up a lot, and I understand why it is. But, you know, my gut is that Buster's going to have a good year, and we'll see Buster back with the Giants, not just next year, but hopefully for more after that. So I'm not panicking about this is our last chance to see Posey. I still think it's his team, and I think that that tells you something about this team. You know, it's still in a period of transition. That's no disrespect to Buster, who's just a great player, but Posey is, you know, 34 years old this week, and the Giants haven't had that next guy come up in all these. You know, now you could say it's been like the last 5 years where there's been a little bit of vacuum for that, and they haven't had that happen, so... that does tell you a little something about this franchise. But that doesn't diminish to me, because I still think, you know, there are a lot of examples recently, whether it's the Rays and what they've done, a lot of times across the Bay in Oakland, what the A's have done. Now, the A's have had some star power, too, but there probably were a lot of years where the A's were a really good team, and you ask that question, it'd be hard to answer. Like, who is the face of this franchise? They're winning all these games. How are they doing it? And I do believe we're on a path with the Giants. There'll be some star power here soon with some of the young guys. But I think the Giants have built an operation right now where they are going to be a surprisingly good team for a lot. I mean, I think a lot of people are downplaying how good the Giants can be. They can be a good team this year without that star power, just purely by mixing and matching and depth and all these little moves that the Giants have made, I think added up can be a good team. But it doesn't really answer your question. There isn't a clear-cut face. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right to point out that in the division, the direct competition, there are examples of star power everywhere. And so it does, but, you know, I'm sure Giants fans are a little wistful for that. Some of their aging stars are still here, but where's the Tatis? Where's the Mookie Betts or the Bellinger? Hopefully on the way.
Talking with one of the voices of the San Francisco Giants and NCAA basketball and football and hopefully all the golf events soon. We're going to knock off Nance for you, Dave. Keep up the great work. But going off of what you
were
just
saying.
We don't
want that. We want Jim to keep his job.
Or go to ESPN.
Exactly.
That's the rumor.
So that Dave can take
we'll
some other ones.
Later.
Anyway, Dave. So going off of what you were just saying, who or what are you going to be keeping an eye on this spring down in Scottsdale with a lot of young players hopefully going to be taking a step forward with the Brandon Belts and Crawfords and Busters kind of getting up there? So what are you keeping an eye on this spring?
Yeah, probably, you know, to me, Buster is probably still number one. Just, you know, how much like the old Posey does he look like? You know, the reports were really great last spring. We saw it ourselves. He looked really great. He was feeling great. Does that continue into this year? I think that's probably number one. He's the biggest possible upside add to this team from last year's team. So that's one. Number two, it's always fun in the spring to follow the young players, even if you know they're not going to make the team. We're going to see Marco Luciano is probably going to start a game or two in the Cactus League. He's 19 years old. I mean, that's pretty exciting where we're going to get to see him for some real game action against high-level competition just to see what he looks like out there. It's probably not going to go 100% smooth, but he and Elliot Ramos and Joey Bart and Patrick Bailey and this wave of Hunter Bishop, these guys are going to get a chance to play a little bit this spring. That's always fun. But I do think the number one question for this team by a good margin for me is the starting pitching. Oh. And so if you're worried about how can the Giants contend, where's the weak spot, where's the spot of vulnerability, I mean, they have added a lot of options for starting pitching. And it doesn't have to be one or two players. But that's where the downside on this roster to me exists, where, you know, you're kind of crossing your fingers with some players who've had injury problems and inconsistencies. And can you find enough in that group Because otherwise, I think the Giants have a chance to be a really competitive team. And if they find that from the starting pitching, I think the upside for the team is a playoff team. So, to me, that's the number one question. How does Alex Wood and DeSclafani and Aaron Sanchez and Logan Webb and all these players that they're going to sort of put into this intense competition, who wins out? How do those pitchers look?
Dave Fleming here on 95.7 The Game on the Morning Roast. You know, Dave, you hit on something there with the face of the franchise, what Joe just asked you, because we were kicking this around last week, and I believe, like, maybe Farhan Zaidi, a player who's not, somebody who's not on the field, is actually the face because of what's going to happen with this team moving forward. Are you guys, and when I say you guys, the crew with Miller and Kipe and Krug, look at it at the season thinking, man, this could be the last time we see Brandon Belt. This could be the last time we see Brandon Crawford in the Giants uniform. This could be the transition year that I think a lot of Giants fans has been looking forward to see what direction they would go in terms of star power or the minor league system. When you look at this year, are you kind of going into it looking, not only is the starting pitching maybe being a weakness of this team, but man, this could be the last year of a lot of things that happened in the last decade, a lot of good things that happened in the last decade with this core.
Well, I guarantee you middle of the year I'm going to be thinking about that as we get down the home stretch. Maybe I haven't started to do that yet. Part of that is because Crawford and Belt, and I mean, they both had really good seasons last year, really good. And I think their expectation level is to perform again this season. So to me, I think there's a real good chance that one or both or all of these sort of veteran Giants championship players that we're talking about make a pretty darn good argument to not have this be their final year. So, you know, I think we have to let that part of it play out. But even if they play well, there sure is a chance, just with the way contracts are made, there's a chance that this will be the last time we see a couple of those players. And down the home stretch of this year, I will be nostalgic about it, because even through some down times in the last few seasons, what that group has given this city, this franchise, is hard to state. It's hard to measure. Right. And you're talking about, with, you know, the perspective of history, when we look back 20 years from now, you're talking about some of the greatest players this franchise has ever had. And that doesn't mean, you know, like all the time Willie Mays level superstar, all-star play. It doesn't mean that, but contributions to this franchise, you're talking about some of the all-time greats. So, in a way, I'm rooting for them all to just play so darn well, and the Giants have such a good year that it makes sense that this isn't the last year that group's right with us.
Dave, you know, I know you brought up Marco Luciano, who I cannot wait to see. Ramos, can't wait to see him. But the catcher situation, we got a little taste of Joey Bart last year. Obviously, it wasn't what everybody was hoping for, but I thought he held his own, and he'll adjust, and I think he'll get back up to the bigs at some point. And you got Patrick Bailey behind him kind of pushing him. Well, where do you think the organization, though, is at with both of those two players?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they're at a point of, you know, if there's one thing that Farhan's track record would tell you, there's several things, but one aspect of it is, you know, you can never have enough catching, and having, you know, even just look at the Dodgers model from the last few years, whether it's now Will Smith, but before that, at times a veteran Russell Martin with Austin Barnes, they have had different options at that position where they've been willing to almost equally timeshare the catcher spot, with the idea that the position is so demanding physically that the fresher you keep your players, the better production you get. There's a lot to that theory. So I think the organizational philosophy is stockpile catching and have talented players at that position ready, waiting in the wings, and also at the big league level. Specifically, I don't know. But I think it is very fair, even with the pedigree of the number two overall pick, it is very fair to say that it's a really important spring for Joey Bart, that he needs to, that it wasn't smooth sailing last year, that he has some stuff he really needs to work on to be big league ready, and the clock is now ticking a little bit on that, that because they have another young player, because Joey's been in the organization now 3 years as opposed to one or two, that the clock is ticking a little bit to show that improvement. And so I do think, whether it's behind the scenes or on the field in the Cactus League games that we'll watch, Joey Bart's performance is important. How he carries himself. Is he working with the pitchers a little more smoothly? Is he covering up that hole that pitchers exploited last year when he got to the big leagues? Can he tap into that power when he gets into games? The batting practice power is phenomenal. Can he get to that power in games? Those are big questions for his future with this franchise. And I, you know, it's not do or die time for him. He's still a really young player. But that doesn't mean it's not an important stretch of 6 weeks for him to start to prove that.
Would it change the organizational philosophy if they had the DH for the whole year in the NL regarding Joey Bart and where he starts this year?
I don't think so. I think Joey's ticketed to start in the minor leagues as long as Kurt Casale, maybe even if Casale's not ready with his hand surgery that he had a couple months ago. I think Chadwick Trump would likely be the backup. I think they want Joey to have at least the first part of the year of regular playing time in actual games, not, you know, alternate site camp games and scrimmages, actual minor league games. He hasn't had enough of that in his career. I think they want that from him. That doesn't mean that he couldn't overwhelm them with performance this spring, but I think that's the plan with him.
Awesome. Thanks for the time, Dave. Thanks for all the insight into what's going on. We'll catch up with you hopefully in a few weeks and recalibrate what's going on down in Scottsdale.
Even if I can't be face-to-face, I'll get you some good info. So next time we talk, we have some
We know
updates.
That.
Let's go play golf soon, Dave.
Ignore that last question, Dave.
Yeah, just hang up
the phone,
please.
You and me.
Dave Fleming.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.